0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Scott Brown's looking ahead to Celtic's revenge mission against Livingston this weekend as domestic football finally returns. Rangers are at Hamilton playing their part in the battle at the top, and important times in the history of Partick Thistle with fan ownership the way forward. I'm Gordon Duncan, back after a short trip to the hospital, and as a result, bizarrely, we are live from my living room with Gordon DL and Mark Wilson. Explain yourselves, gentlemen.
This is bizarre, Gordon. When I got the call saying we were coming to your house, I thought it was a joke, but must say, we're delighted to have you back. We were all worried sick over the weekend when we heard you were ill, but it was great to have you back. Great to have you back, as much as it's great to have the domestic scene back. Always good to see our national team win, but the big games come around this weekend, and where better to chat about them than your living room in front of the TV.
And nothing better, Gordon, I must admit, seeing producer David Crawl in the background there try to put one of your ornaments back up that he's actually
good
broken.
Good start.
I'm looking forward to tonight.
This doesn't fully work on radio, so I think if you head over to our Twitter feed at Clyde SSB, you'll be able to see some live footage, because Gordon, you've actually come suitably, well, in fact, unsuitably dressed for the occasion. I don't know if you think that you're staying over. You've got your slippers, your pyjamas, your dressing gown, your water bottle, your hot water bottle. A man of your age, I guess that's just sort of the way you kick about at this time on a Thursday evening. This is really probably the weirdest moment of my short Clyde One Super Scoreboard career.
I just
so
feel
far.
Now, Gordon, if I ever visit someone, I've got to come prepared, just in case I've got an overnight. You never know the weather now in Motherwell. It could be snowing. And I'm all set out, and I've got my slippers here that Matt Wilson very kindly brought from Cumbernauld, and I can't believe you want some back, but I'm looking forward to tonight's show, and I think we've got a lot to talk about.
What do you think of the place? Is it looking okay? Just made sure it was looking good for you.
I've never seen a cleaner place in my life, Gordon. I'm scared to move. Scared to move, but it's good to know.
It's always like that.
Listen, if your wife's listening, it's good to know that when Daz came in with a fresh pair of slippers, he stood and chewed them at the front door, and he's dragging it all about your carpet, so... There we go, good start.
Anyway, don't be put off by the fact that we are live from my living room. It is a bit strange, but needs must. I've been told by the good people at the hospital that I'm not allowed to drive, and needs must. So we're live from my living room, but you can still get in touch. In fact, we would encourage you to do so even more than usual. That way you don't need to sit and listen to us. 0141 951 1025. If you would rather tweet, then we are at Clyde SSB. And I'm sort of wondering if we open up a third option, which is like, if you know where I live, just come and ring the doorbell.
Yeah,
you can come in and get involved. Like, usually I'm a bit of a robot. I say the same things. Give us a call. Send us a tweet. I wonder if we should
chat
that.
The door.
Or chat the door. The doorbell works. I checked it earlier.
You
know,
or use the house phone. You were saying that a few weeks ago. You still use your house phone.
Yeah,
just phone the house phone. There we go.
Do you know something? We'll know how popular it is, right? Will someone chat the door and say, I want to talk to Dazzler?
Certainly will.
I'm going to stop short of giving my address out, but if anybody knows the address and you've only...
I tell you who didn't know your address. Gordon Dale. Now, he's been here many a time, and I picked him up to come here, and he had us at every house in every corner, and they just kept saying, right, go right here. He definitely lives in there, but there you go. It took us a while to get here, but we're here nonetheless.
He is an absolute nightmare, as you can expect. Right, 0141 951 1025. Seriously, give us a call, get in touch. I know some of you have been engrossed in international football. For the rest of you, maybe it's not your scene. This is Thursday night. We can fully turn our attentions back to the domestic football. Anything that's been on your mind, anything you've been bottling up over the last week or so, now is the time to get it off your chest. 0141 951 1025 at Clyde SSB on Twitter, or ring the doorbell. It's as simple as that. Right, football-wise, guys, what have I missed? What's been happening?
I think two good results for Scotland, you've got to say. A lot of good performances, especially from McGinn. Ryan Jack's in the middle of the park, got two games, and I think he'll take a lot of encouragement out of that. But it's all about the weekend now. We're back to domestic football. Celtic against Livingston, you would imagine that's going to be a home win. And then Hamilton v Rangers, and you imagine that's going to be a away win. But We've got a lot of topics to talk about, Gordon, and I think we've got a lot of exciting football, especially going into December. A lot of games coming up, a lot of fixtures, cup final, everything to look forward to.
I mean, Mark, I don't think the show has heard from you since those Scotland games. Mm. Like I say, we're sort of in between. Yes, we're probably done with the reflection on Scotland. We very much want to get stuck back into the domestic stuff, but overall, I think we can at least feel a bit better about ourselves, yeah, given what we've seen.
I know it's not against the number one nation in the world or the top 10 nations in the world we're getting results, but where we are just now as a national team, we've got to take anything as positives, and having three wins on the bounce is certainly something to build on. I'm not sure how much it'll go into Steve Clarke's thoughts about his team selection when the playoffs come around, but as Daz touched on there, you know, Ryan Jack, who's been widely tipped to come in and, you know, stake his claim for a place in that midfield, comes in and gets some much-needed international experience and showed up well. You know, could be the start of a relationship with Callum McGregor. So there's certainly positives. Going forward, though, you expect the big hitters, or your Andy Robertsons, your Kieran Tierneys, to come into the squad. But nevertheless, Gordon, always good to get victories, especially what happened in Kazakhstan first time around, and especially going 1-0 down, you think, this doesn't look good.
Yeah, I think what you say there is terrific, but I got a question the other night there.
What you said there was terrific, but I've
got to say, I got a question the other night, and I simply couldn't answer it, because you're right, I think Ryan Jack come in there with him and McGregor, looked a good partnership. We are strong in the middle of the pitch. Mm-hmm. But if you've got everybody fit there, come March, who do you play?
Whoever's playing better at the time. Simple as that. I don't think it can
be... So you play Ryan Jack before McTominay, for instance, at Manchester United?
Well, put it this way. If Manchester United are having a nightmare, and McTominay might be the best player there, and if Ryan Jack is having a terrific season come the start of March, right in the midst of a title race where the football is highly competitive every week and every game matters, and he's performing to the highest standard, I would play him.
So you're saying that...
So it's got to be informed.
So you're saying that right now you would put Ryan Jack in there?
I'm not talking about right now. I'm saying when it comes round. Right, that's Steve Clarke's job. I'm saying it's good to know that he has some relationship with McGregor. Now, McGregor, if McGregor's doing the same and they're neck and neck come that stage, why would you not put him in there? If Man United's season's frittering away, who knows? Who knows where Man United will be at that stage? But it's shown that Ryan Jack can go in there and play in the international scene.
I mean, of course, tomorrow morning we'd find out our playoff semi-final opponents. You've got a choice. Well, not a choice. We don't get to choose. But, the options, Bulgaria, Hungary, Israel, Romania. I know you two are students of the game. You just consume everything. You've probably actually been over to see these guys live just to double-check on what's been happening. Would you have a preference? Who do we have the best chance of beating?
Struggling to find your house, which is only maybe half a mile away from mine's, I don't think we've been over there. But I've got to say, Gordon, I think the most important thing for us is home advantage. I think come March, full house at Hampden Park. I said it on Tuesday night with Roger Hanna. Packed house, great atmosphere. I think we can rise to that. I think we can get through to the finals. It will be difficult. We're not saying that it's going to be an easy ride. There's no chance of that. But when it comes to the final, I would really like it to be back at Hampden Park, because I think that's our best opportunity of achieving success.
I would go for Israel. I think because we've played them recently, we know what to expect. We're capable of beating them. I think the other ones, we've seen them against other opposition, and we've seen playing England, but I don't think we can get a real grasp of what we're facing. I think we'd be comfortable getting into a game where we know, recent history, we can match and better a side. Mm. And that side is Israel.
OK, 0141 951 1025. Like I say, it is Thursday night. I know lots of you, it feels like a long old time when the international break is on. So if you've got anything at all on your mind with regards domestic football, now is the time to share it. 0141 951 1025. We'll look ahead to the weekend. We're going to hear from Scott Brown. We'll look at Rangers trip. Partick Thistle fans, what about you? Massive couple of days for the club, genuinely. These could be the days you look back on as being massive days in your history. So get in touch. We are live from my living room. I'm going to have to keep reminding you in case you wonder what on earth is going on. Mrs. Duncan has already been in touch because she heard that that ornament breaking in the background right at the start of the show.
Producer David.
So she'll be home from work anytime soon. You're going to have to explain yourself. But let's just take a call at the moment, see what's out there, see what's on the minds. Let's speak to Brendan, who is in Paisley. Hi, Brendan.
Good evening, boys. How are you?
Not too bad at all, Brendan. What's on
your mind? It's nice to speak to the three stooges having a sleepover, you know.
I think that's a compliment, sort of. Anyway, on you,
anyway,
Brendan.
Before I put my point across, boys, I just hope that I just want to wish my own team, St Mirna, the best against Ross County on Saturday. Hope we take the 3 points at home and get us a wee bit of a boost for the whole team and the club, you know. That's before I put my point across, so a wee shout out to my team. But back to Scotland, I think, on a personal standpoint, after watching the other game, the game the other night against Kazakhstan, I thought the first 45 minutes, I didn't even think we could beat Eggs, never mind a football team, because we were absolute dross. But the second half, I don't know what Stevie Clark says to them, but when the second half came out, I thought John McGinn and Stevie Naismith, and in some aspects, Ryan Jack, were different players. They were tremendous in the second half. But I think if, and it's a massive if we get through to the European Championships, I think we're going to get absolutely destroyed. And I'll tell you why I think that. I don't think we've got the defence to cope with a higher echelon team or teams in the European Championships, or even a midfield. We've got up front a boy who used to play for us, John McGinn, who had a fantastic second. He's having a fantastic few months, actually, for Scotland. But the other guy who's got next to him, you know, unfortunately, is coming to the end of his career. But I don't think he's got the legs to carry out a full 90 minutes up against, shall we say, a better, lot better team than what we've actually played so far. And I think we may seriously struggle if we do get...
Do you not think the important thing is that we've got an opportunity? And I think that if you look at the team the other night, I totally agree with you. I thought the first half was very poor. Second half, we looked like we came out, and I don't know what Steve Clark did say in that dressing room, but it certainly gave the players encouragement to go out and play and move the ball quicker. And I thought that Scotland played very, very well second half and deserved their win. But you've got a lot of, you know, important players back by March as well. And as I keep saying, I think the most important thing for us is, I'm not saying that we're great and we're going to do X, Y and Z, because it's shown in the past that we've always failed. But I think that home advantage, 50,000 in that Hampden with the atmosphere, the Tartan Army, I think our players can rise to that.
Brendan, I was just going to say, is that really worth worrying about at the moment? Is it not a case of cross that bridge when you come to it? When you've not been to a major tournament since 1998, you worry about getting there. You don't worry about what's going to happen.
We're going for the party.
Once
yeah.
you get in.
Yeah. It's about, there's a lot of game time to go through before we even get there. But because we've not been there for a long time, Brendan, your point's probably valid, because when you look at these top nations, I mean, some of their players, you know, are extraordinary compared to your squad. And I think we've got a very good squad, but just getting there would be an achievement. And then we can cross the bridge and try to put a defence in against these guys when it comes to it.
Of course you can.
Aye. I'm Scottish. I'm with the boys 100%. I would love to see them getting to another major championship, because for one major reason, we've probably got one of the best supports in world football that travel with us. And there's no doubt in that at all. In world football, I would say we're up there in the top, easily the top 10 of travel support, where every time we go to support our team, it's a massive party. And we very rarely see any trouble or any issues with our fans. But they're definitely your 12th man. There's no doubt about it. They're our 12th man.
I'll tell you what, Brendan, you mentioned this earlier on. Let's hear about John McGinn from somebody who knows a lot better than us, your own defender, his brother Paul. He says none of the family are surprised at how much John has been impressing recently. It was a double against Kazakhstan. He's up to, I think it's at 6 or 7 in the last 3 games. He actually stayed over at Paul's house after the match. Brotherly love. Don't you two get any ideas. You're not staying here after the show.
I get my jams.
And the St Mirren defender, no surprises what they got up to after the match finished.
He stayed up and watched the highlights and watching back his goal. But now he's on fire and I can't say I'm too surprised. It was nice that he was in a bit more on cloud nine and they look as if they've kind of got a shape now, and I suppose I'm a bit biased, but I watched them at 18 against Celtic at Hampden and doing really well all the time against the bigger team, so it doesn't really surprise me. What's maybe the move to the further forward surprised me a wee bit, but I think it's a stroke of genius. I think he's a clever player, and because he has that awkward looking and hustle and bustle, everyone thinks maybe he isn't quite like that, but he knows when to send to them sticks head and stick that big bomb in. He knows when to use them, so he's very clever, and I'm not surprised that he gets on the end of so much.
We've had Brendan on the phone. We haven't had anyone at the door yet, so early days, we'll wait and see. But Sam Proctor is on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Here's a thought: why don't the Scottish FA drop all the prices, let school kids and under-16s in for free, £10 for adults, fill Hampden, give it a decent atmosphere, instead of drawing as much money they can out the public. There's probably a balance to be found there, is there not? I hope with everything I've got that there is something in place, something attractive, a plan to really make this count. At the same time, whether you need to go as low as £10 and free to fill Hampden for a game this size, do you have to push it that far? Or?
No, I don't think so. I think this game is absolutely huge for Scotland. A genuine opportunity for the first time in many years to qualify. I don't think you'll have a problem this time. I get the point for the other games in the less attractive nations and dead rubbers like the other night, but for this game in March, I don't think Hampden will have to, or the SFA will have to shift their prices.
Okay, 01419511025. Twitter is at Clyde SSB. The doorbell is working if you want to come along and get involved in the show. I had great visions of a sort of super scoreboard live this season, you know, on location, big event.
Yep.
It's not quite what I had in mind, I must admit. But nevertheless, we will make the best of it. Give us a call. Celtic captain Scott Brown, he's been speaking within the last hour. It's an evening with Bruni.
If Amber walks in here and reads the travel, I will be amazed.
The evening with Bruni, we've been hearing from Scott Brown, and it just sort of reminded me of something that Hugh Keevans has been banging on about in the last couple of weeks. In Hugh Keevans' mind, things like this, you know, the praise that Scott Brown's getting, the importance of the team, Hugh has elevated him to being Celtic's best captain or most important, significant captain since Billy McNeil. You might agree, you might think it's nonsense. Why not let us know? 0141 951 1025, and we'll hear from Scott Brown after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. My humble apologies for being absent over the last couple of days. I had a bit of a nightmare, bit of a minor episode, ended up in Wishaw General Hospital. Nothing serious, for anyone who cares, I don't suppose you do. What it does mean, though, is that I can't drive at the moment, and therefore we are live, believe it or not, in my living room. It was pretty surreal to start. Are you getting used to it? Is it still a bit weird?
I'm comfy. I like that break there, because I've got to sit back in this lovely chair.
Yep.
The only thing I'd like to ask, Gordon, and I know a lot of people listen, and they'll be interested, as I look towards the TV, which I'm really interested in, Sky Sports, I see Mark Wilson's photo.
I do have a photo of Mark Wilson on the mantelpiece.
And then I've glanced to my right, and I have seen a photograph of myself.
Yeah, they stay there.
Would you like to say something about this?
I just you're my friends. I just
is
I
Mrs. D got a sort of?
That's me.
Is it you?
Me.
Okay, right. Okay.
I just leave it there all year round.
It's the same as my photos of you at my house as well. So,
what do you think I did that especially for tonight?
And by the way, let me say something. Right, for all the people that are out there listening, that is 100% true. I'm not lying. Usually, I like a lie. That is not a. By the way, I've got to say, Mark, you're absolutely fantastic.
You look horrendous in yours.
I know.
You look better now with the white hair.
But just to paint a picture, this is genuine. That this isn't a gimmick. Gordon DL has his jammies, his slippers, his house coat, his hot water bottle. Mark came a bit smarter, as you would expect. Played in the Champions League, he's not going to roll up to my house.
Of course. Jammies, Champions League to Championship, there you go.
And I've even still got the surgical stockings on for you. Do you like them?
I like the stockings, yeah.
That wouldn't be a surprise to you. Because
I don't.
Well, that won't be a surprise. You knew about them, did you not? Because I got a text from you earlier.
About what?
Well, you text me and said, "See you later. Hope you've got your stockings on." Was that not meant for me?
Yeah, no, obviously.
Is that mistaken?
Yeah, it was Mrs. Right, D. Okay. I was sure.
All right.
But honestly, all I'm hoping for is like Halloween tonight. I want the doorbell to go.
Yeah.
Surely someone out there that lives in this street that's seen Matt Wilson spending about 300 quid in petrol, going round in circles trying to find a place. Surely somebody will ring the bell. True. Come in.
Just to paint a bit of a picture. Now, by the way, I don't expect anyone to care. This isn't about sympathy or anything. I just want you to try and understand what I was going through exactly a week ago. Exactly 1 week ago.
Yep.
I was due to fly to Dubai, right? It was a big birthday treat, all the rest of it. It's not actually my birthday yet, so you can forget that. So going to Dubai, Thursday afternoon, feel a bit of a sore stomach. Think, this is not going anywhere. This is a dodgy sore stomach. There's something not right about this. So go to the doctor. She takes one look and says, "You're not going anywhere. Hospital." I'm thinking, no chance. Unbelievable. So up to hospital, they say, "Yep, correct, you're not going anywhere. Blood tests aren't good. We think it's your appendix. You need to stay." I then take the huff. Because you would, wouldn't you?
Take the huff with the doctors.
No, just with life at that point. Discharged myself, signed myself out of hospital and drove to the airport. I was determined. I thought, I am going on this holiday no matter what happens. As I get to Glasgow Airport, I'm getting a bit stressed. That's when I change my mind, because I think, this is foolish, reckless. I can feel the appendix. I think I better turn round. I'm up to here, stressed, and all I can hear is you two on the radio, this time, last week, talking your usual rubbish, laughing, joking, nonsense. And you know, you ever heard the phrase, rubbing salt in the wounds? That's what it was like.
So you try and blame us? You
certainly didn't
at
help.
At that time, we were annoyed at you because we were in that roasting studio thing. He's sitting in the airport going to Dubai, so swings and roundabouts.
By the way, the great thing about this is he phoned me, actually, and I says, "Can't believe he's phoned me for Dubai." He went, "I'm in Wishaw Hospital." I went, "You beauty."
What a nightmare.
That's the level of sympathy you get. Right, let's hear from Scott Brown. Let's get back to the football. 01419511025 on the phones. Let's hear from Celtic captain Scott Brown. I believe it is an evening with Bruni tonight to pay tribute to the Celtic captain. I'm not sure when an evening with Willow is, but I'd imagine it's going to be soon. So Hugh Keevans has been banging the drum recently. He thinks that Scott Brown's contribution has got to such a level that he is Celtic's best or most important captain since Billy McNeil. And I know that might seem like high praise, so I'm wondering what you think. Do you agree or do you disagree? 0141 951 1025. This is a good time to get in touch. He's been speaking about the football at the weekend, Scott Brown. He says there will be no repeats of Celtic's performance at Livingston when they meet again this weekend. If you remember, a defeat actually at the Tony Macaroni earlier this season, still fresh in the mind, but the captain says they are very much ready to prove that it was an off day.
We didn't play that well that game. I think the emotions got the best of everyone that day. It was a hard start, Ryan got sent off, but yet again we should perform a lot better as 10 men. We've done it before in the past. The AstroTurf definitely doesn't help us, but it was the same for both teams. But for us it's about how we bounce back now. That defeat's always lingering in the back of your mind. It's always a sore one to take, no matter who we get beat from. But we're looking forward to the game, especially being at Celtic Park.
The response has been perfect, hasn't it, since 7 wins and great
form. Yeah, and that's the thing, it's all about how this team bounces back, and we don't want too many dips. We want to keep pushing forward and keep showing the positives and the way we've been playing. And I think whether it's in Europe or in domestic, we've been very, very good, and we need to make sure we maintain those levels, especially after this international break.
Alan Mackey's on Twitter. He says, "I totally agree with Hugh Keevans." Well, there's a sentence you don't often hear about Bruni being the best captain since Billy McNeil. If you think back, who was better? What do you think on the phones? 01419511025. Best captain since Billy McNeil, or is that an exaggeration? You tell us, Mark Wilson.
I don't think it is an exaggeration. I think a lot of times, you know, in the modern day game, people always hark back to other yesteryear. Billy McNeil is no doubt the greatest captain Celtic have had and probably ever will have. But because Scott Brown is here now, some people probably don't take his achievements as seriously as probably guys in the past. I mean, we're talking about he's won 9 championships already, you know, paired with 5 Scottish Cups, I think 4 League Cups maybe. Maybe I've got that wrong with Celtic alone. Paired with the European appearances he's made, you don't get to that level without being, one, an outstanding player, but two, an inspirational leader. And I think you can see how influential he is in that dressing room. And under how many managers now? So Gordon Strachan, brought him in Gordon Strachan, to Tony Mowbray, to Neil Lennon, to Ronnie Dyla, Brendan Rodgers, and back to Neil Lennon. Under that amount of managers, and everyone has said the exact same thing, how important he is to that squad. And if you ask any player who's served under him, how important he is to that squad. So I think Hugh is bang on the money with that one. A lot of people will disagree with that because he's not everybody's cup of tea, but I don't think you can underestimate how important he is to Celtic.
I mean, Gordon, some brilliant captains, obviously, some important ones if you're going back. I mean, Paul McStay did it for a long time. Was it 7 years? Tom Boyd, maybe something similar. Roy Aitken in there. Danny McGrain in there. I don't know. How does he stack up? But this is not about judging the footballer against some of these guys. That's not what Hugh Keevan's point is when he makes it. He's talking about the captain, the importance, the significance.
Yeah, I agree with that. A lot of great legends in there, as you mentioned, Gordon. I'm very privileged to play against the Roy Aikens, the Paul McStays of this world. Billy McNeil, greatest ever, and I do agree with Mark. Will never ever, MD will never go by that. Sign me at Man City for lots of money, and quite rightly so. But I've got to say, Brown has been absolutely terrific for Celtic. And it wasn't until about 2 years ago, because I fell in the same trap as everybody else about, you know, he doesn't do a lot, you know, have a look at him, blah, blah, blah. I was sitting talking to somebody in the press room. We had a chat about Scott Brown, and I went out and I continually watched him. And Scott Brown has got better and better and better with age. And the one thing, as you say, it's not about football, it's the way he drives the team on. When Celtic need a lift, Scott Brown is there to give them a lift. And I totally agree with Mark and Hugh about, you know, their opinion on Scott Brown.
Okay, let's go to the phones. 01419511025. Alec is on the line. Alec is a Celtic fan. I wonder if you've got, what do you think, Alec? Best Celtic captain since Billy McNeil, or is that a bit of a stretch?
No, definitely. Yeah, obviously, like I say, I've been privileged. I've seen Bruni, obviously, at Park Keep, you know, every other week, season book holder. And when you see what he does on the pitch, it does look really simple, but he's always there. You know, when he hits it, when he moves the ball, he moves somewhere else. If a centre-half steps out, Bruni steps in. It's as if his intelligence there the last couple of years, you know, the older he's getting, you know, you think that he would seem to be slowing down. The older he's getting, it seems that, for me anyway, the better he seems to be getting.
Alec, can I ask you a question? Because it was very interesting when Scott Brown went out the team with injury, and McGregor played in, basically it was a 4-1-4-1 formation, and McGregor played in there, and the amount of calls, and I couldn't believe this, about Celtic played better football with Scott Brown out it. And I totally disagreed, because I thought he was so important to what, you know, Celtic was all about. Were you one of those guys that went, do you know what, we're playing better football with without Scott Brown? Because they were winning games, you've got to remember.
For me, you know, like every team, you know, needs a player like Scott Brown. And I understand, you know, what a lot of maybe pundits, supporters, you know, were saying when Bruni was out, he seemed to be more faster. But, you know, there's nobody in the Celtic team that has got that dig. And that drive and the passion that which Scott Brown's got. And I know that we were winning games Celtic and smoothly and all that, but I'll take a team with Scott Brown and Brown in it any day.
I think without a doubt, the influence of Brendan Rodgers certainly changed his game a bit. If you remember Scott Brown under Gordon Strachan and then Tony Mowbray, even going through those managers, even Ronnie Dyer, he was everywhere. And Brendan Rodgers came in and limited his running and changed his role a bit. And I think under Ronnie Dyer, he was taking a wee dip and people were suggesting that his legs were gone, if I remember rightly. A lot of calls saying Celtic would be better without him at the team. But he was struggling with injury and his game evolved and he's now went from strength to strength. But it's one thing doing that on the pitch as a player for 10 years like he has, but to be the leader of the club and the captain of the club, a lot of his off-field activities don't get publicised, don't get documented, and that's a real leader of a club like Celtic. Things like that.
Like what? You've been there.
I mean, listen, charity work, I'm talking charity work, probably appearances he makes without it being documented in newspapers. To team matters, I mean, a captain has to take the responsibility of controlling the dressing room. And I'm talking simple things. Foreign players coming into the club, I mean, Scott was always one of the first to go up, introduce himself and have a laugh with them, but make them feel welcome. And he still does that. To even simple things, organising the team nights out.
Crucial role.
I mean, Gordon, that's a crucial role. But it falls... It's all failing him for a number of years.
Let's bring in Brian and Stirling quickly and get another take on it, whether it's the same view or a different view. I don't know, Brian, what do you think?
Well, tonight, as we speak, I'm driving there to Armadillo to see what I call a modern-day Celtic hero. Now, I can't give him enough plaudits. And from the inception he's as a player to what he's become as a captain, as an ambassador for Celtic, he epitomises what Celtic is all about. You know, that wholeheartedness, that, you know, giving back to the supporters. Whenever you meet him, I've met him a couple of times, and wherever you meet him, whenever you meet him, he's got time for Celtic, he's got time for Celtic fans, but even time for other people. But on the football field, what he's turned into, and I'm not going to compare him to any players because, quite frankly, there is no player in world football for me that can do for Celtic what he's done for Celtic. We could sign X, Y, and Z player for multi-million pounds and you're still not going to get what you've had off Scott Brown. But, I mean, like a Maldini for AC Milan, you know, that antipathy of footballing knowledge and wholehearted and giving your heart to the club. I mean, we will never see his likes again. And I've said it many times on this show, this absolutely the best thing that ever happened on this show. It was Big Derek Johnson. I don't know if you remember back to the time. I've said it before and I've had a laugh with Derek about it since. But he said he was signing for Rangers and he said if he didn't sign for Rangers, he was going to hang his up his mic. And Bruni gave us that moment. It was brilliant, you know, because 10 years to the day I phoned him up and I actually let him hear his own voice saying that. Big Derek was like, right, you've got me, you know what I mean? So these just fun things, but amazing. He epitomises everything that you want in a football player. That's the reason why he's the first man on the pitch. That's the reason why he comes on the pitch, he does his wee shimmy, his wee shimmy, his wee jump, is because he just wants the fans to know that he is there for us. And that's everybody feels it, you know what I mean? What you guys are saying, you know, it just adds to him, you know what I mean? And I'm really going to go massive. My laddie's here. My best pals here, Big Bulls here, everybody's, you know, we're really looking forward to tonight to hear him because, yes, he's a modern day hero, a football hero. You think about the things that happen.
There is lots coming in on Twitter about this one, Brian, as well. I don't think you're alone. Scott says, been watching Celtic 35 years, never seen a better captain in my eyes. Gary agrees, great servant to the club, great captain, has the qualities you would look for. Old school mixed with the current style, and the great thing is this is about rivalry. You don't have to agree. Graham Gunion says, great captain for Celtic in Scotland, but I hope Scott plays on until we take our title back to Ibrox before 10 in a row happens. And that's the way it does work in this city. 01419511025. What about this weekend then? One of Celtic's poor performances this season, obviously, because there haven't been many. Yeah. But that day at Livingston, does the Celtic Park factor just completely blow that out of the water? Yeah. Is it completely different this weekend?
Yeah, it blows out of the water for me, Gordon. I said that, and I'll stick by it, Celtic and Rangers at home, apart from each other, will not drop points. I know there's performances that a lot of supporters have come on and said, well, it wasn't good enough, but they still win games. And I fully expect Celtic at Livingston, Celtic Park against Livingston on Saturday. Alison and I are going there. I expect Celtic to score a few goals and win that game comfortably. No disrespect to Livingston. They've got other fish to fry down the bottom of the league, and they've got to work very hard to stay in the league. But I just think that Celtic, with the fact that Rangers are playing at Hamilton on Sunday, we'll get the 3 points.
0141 951 1025 to join us on the phones at Clyde SSB on Twitter. And if you want to ring the doorbell, come and get involved live in person, because we are live from my living room. I have not been given the all clear to drive. I just couldn't stay away. Missed the show too much. So we're doing it from my living room. Get in touch. What about you Rangers fans? Back to action this weekend. A trip to Hamilton on Sunday. What is that holding store? Is that a potential banana skin, as the cliche goes, or another 3 points? Let us know. We're going to hear from Brian Rice after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. The league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's been a hectic week or so. I've not been here. I am sorry. Ended up getting my appendix removed. Bit of a nightmare. Been in the hospital. But we're back tonight. The only sort of catches, we're live from my living room because I can't drive. You've come with your jammies on. Mark Wilson's here as well. You found it eventually. I always knew this would be a bit weird, and it just got weirder because during the travel, Mrs. Duncan came home from work, and the look on her face as if to say, what on earth is going on? How was your day? Good? Happy? Yeah. What's for dinner? That's the obvious question.
Chicken pie.
Gordon DL starving. Is it chicken pie?
For three.
Is there enough to go around?
And he's not always in here.
She's not overly impressed. We've done the place up a bit. We have replaced the pictures of our lovely nieces and nephews with pictures of Gordon DL, pictures of Mark Wilson. So she doesn't look too impressed, but the chicken pie should be on its way. We're here until 8 o'clock, Mrs. Duncan, so if you could just sort that out before then, that would be very nice.
Well Gordon done, Mrs. D.
He'll give you a hand once we're done, if need be. A couple of ways for you to get in touch tonight, 01419511025 on the phones. Twitter is at Clyde SSB, and Gordon's really got his hopes up that if anyone somehow, I don't know how you would, but if anyone somehow is in the area, knows where we are, ring that doorbell.
Come on.
You could be really, really alive.
Could you imagine meeting Mark Wilson? Seriously?
Oh, brilliant, I know.
Just could you imagine, and we're from Motherwell, we don't meet big stars like Mark Wilson.
It's true.
That's played with Scotland.
One cap
with Scotland.
I know.
Come
it
on,
true.
Me and international.
We are looking ahead to the weekend's football as well. Let's hear from Hamilton Accies boss Brian Rice, because they're playing Rangers. Rangers fans, perfect chance for you to get in touch right now on the phones. He's about to put his faith in youth against Rangers. How will that work out? Hamilton have got some difficulties. Sam Stubbs and Scott Martin are suspended. Brian Easton, Blair Alston, Marius Ongpo, Kieran McKenna, Aaron McGowan. What a list. Ryan Fulton all struggling with injuries. Brian Rice is hopeful, confident that they can handle it.
Just opens the door for others. So no point in mumping and moaning about it. We've just got on with it. It's not ideal for anybody having injuries at any stage. It's a lot of injuries for us to carry, but the good thing is, you know, I've got young lads in there who are champing at the bit to get a chance, you know, and there's one thing here at Hamilton, you know, they will get a chance. So, like I say, you know, it's bad news for some, but it's good news for others. It's a concern throwing anybody in against Celtic Rangers where they're playing at the moment, but they're part of the squad because they're good players, and it's very daunting, you know, for them going into these games, but, you know, sometimes it's the best thing for them. So, like I say, hopefully I'll get one or two back, but if not, then we just need to go with what we've got.
Right, we're back to this again, aren't we? It's this whole idea that it seems that the away games are going to be the only real stumbling blocks for Celtic or Rangers. Listen, that may well change, but we can only go on what we've seen so far this season. It could barely be tighter at the top. We're all excited about domestic football returning. What about Rangers this weekend then?
Listen to Brian Rice. Obviously got a lot of problems with injuries, suspensions, everything. Rangers going there. I expect Celtic. I'm there on Saturday for Super Scoreboard with Alison. I expect that to be a 3 points for Celtic. So it gives Rangers that little bit more, you know, to go and get the result. And I think we'll do that very comfortably. I totally understand. Teams like Hamilton, they're big games. Against Rangers, Celtic are brilliant. Big crowds there, excitement, lots of money to be made for the home side. But it's not their bread and butter. It's the bottom teams to survive in the league. So I expect, after Celtic won Saturday, I think Rangers will go there. Professional performance and win very comfortably.
Okay, let's go back to the phones then, bring in a Rangers fan and see what's on his mind. John is a Rangers fan from Johnston. John, are you one of these that's been itching to get domestic football back, given just how tight it is at the top?
Definitely. I like to speak about Scott Brown.
All right, okay.
I was listening to your guys in the phone earlier on there about Scott Brown. I don't think that guy's a leader. I don't think he's a captain. I think that guy's a godfather. Honestly, a Scottish football right now, he's a godfather. When you need to dig deep, he's your man. I dread to think when he plays Rangers, because I always know he's going to come up with it, so he is. He's actually special, and I think a lot of people should give a guy a lot of respect. I mean, I know he's in his end of his career, but I'll tell you something. Thank God he's on the early side of his career, because the sooner we get rid of him, the better. I really give the guy
a idea. Have you any idea, John, just how many tweets I'm going to receive saying that you're not really a Rangers fan?
I know you're going to get that, but I can assure you I am. But listen, you've got to give respect to Joe. He's a special guy, so he is. I know there's a lot of people saying this and saying that, but I can tell you now, as far as I'm concerned, I think Scott Brown's a special, special guy. Got to give him respect, and I mean, he's been through a lot in his life, the guy, and he's got right through it, so he has, and he's come through it in a strong way, so he has. I think that even as Rangers fans, I think we've got to take a step back and look at the guy. The guy's special.
The thing is, Mark, I offer this without any comment. It's not up to me to be cynical. Everyone else will say, John's not a Rangers fan, speaking like that about Scott. Yeah. Listen, that's up to John. He says he is. But I've never heard it before. Maybe
a one-off. Sometimes you hear it in other parts of the world where rival teams appreciate a captain or a leader of another team. You don't often hear it in Glasgow, but you know, John, you've said your point. I think, especially against Rangers, Scott has excelled over the years, and probably latterly when Celtic have really been the dominant force in this fixture. And you know, he is a leader. He is a true leader of Celtic and of Scotland when he was there, and he commands respect from the players. And that's why he's been so successful. But Gordon's right. I mean, you don't often hear it from Rangers fans praising him, purely because, you know, he has wound up Rangers players at times. He's wound up fans at times. But that goes with a role. I mean, I think the Celtic captain, I mean, a lot of people say, well, Billy McNeil wouldn't have done that. But the game's changed in so many ways now. And Scott has excelled at that side of the game also. And that's why he's annoyed a lot of Rangers fans, but John's come on here with a different point of view.
Gordon, are you surprised to hear John, who is definitely a Rangers fan, he says he can assure you he's a Rangers fan, are you surprised to hear the praise? I like to think
I'm
it's
not
possible.
Believing John.
No?
No.
You're not having
no,
it?
No, not at all.
You've got to believe him. You've got to take his word, you old cynic.
Look, I think John's kidding us on. I think a lot of Rangers fans would think it, because of what Scott Brown gives to Celtic.
Do you?
But I don't think they come on to Super Scoreboard and brazenly come out with the praise that John's given. So, no, I'm sorry, John. I'm not having it, mate.
John, you can give us a call back. We'll talk it through some other time because we are a bit tight for time. It's time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
I feel like we really are just ticking off firsts on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. This will be the first ever, I can assure you. And most definitely the last Beat the Pundit live from my living room.
I'm liking
this. So if you want to make history and be the only contestant ever to take part in Beat the Pundit live from the living room, you've got two choices. You either turn up at the door within the next 10 seconds, which I think is unlikely, or you give us a call right now. 0141 951 1025. This is your chance to win a signed ball if you can get the better of Mark Wilson or Gordon Dale. The lines close when the news starts at 7, so be quick. Beat the Pundit is next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. The form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompsons.com.
Gordon Dale and Mark Wilson here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. If you think we sound a bit different, I'm afraid to tell you it's because we are live in my living room. Not allowed to drive at the moment, so the guys have come to me because they were clearly missing me so much, or something like that. I was clearly missing them. So we're live in the living room. It's a bit weird. We've got cakes, there's biscuits, the tea. Mrs. Duncan has come home. She's got the dinner on. She doesn't look too happy. Gordon Dale's got his pyjamas on and all the rest of it. But the usual rules apply. You can get in touch on the phones. Partick Thistle fans, wonder what you're saying to it after your fan ownership development, huge couple of days. We're definitely going to speak about that within the next hour, so give us a call. Let's play Beat the Pundit first, shall we?
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Yes, it is Beat the Pundit time. It doesn't matter where we are, Beat the Pundit stops for no man. We've got Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale both ready. One of them ready to take you on to see if the sign ball stays where it is. Let's find out if we've got a contestant tonight. I'm sure we do, otherwise we're going to have to go and chap the neighbour's door. Mm-hmm. I don't know, do we have a contestant? Do we have one on the line? I think we do. Yes, we do. We've got Brian and Paisley. Brian, how are you tonight, Brian?
I'm good, yeah.
Not too bad at all, Brian. This is going to be our first ever on Beat the Pundit because we're in my living room, which means we're going to have to send Gordon or Mark outside the front door whilst you answer your questions. Is that okay?
That's good.
Good, right. I'm going to toss the coin. Heads, you're up against Gordon Dale. Tails, you are up against Mark Wilson. And it's heads. It's Gordon Dale up against Mark Wilson. So if you could please take your headset off, put your coffee down. I don't care if you've got your pyjamas on. Get outside that front door right now. Out you go. All the way. No, all the way. Go. Right now. He's just wandered through to my kitchen. I think his coffee's not to his liking, I don't think. He's not going to be able to stand in there. That is not soundproof. Get him out. Get him out the front door right now.
He's unbelievable. He's complaining about his coffee.
He just takes a life into his own hands.
Your good wife.
He's an absolute nightmare. I wish he would really hurry up.
Daz, you need to go outside. Get out the back garden.
Has he gone out the back door? This is so bizarre. So bizarre. Right, anyway, we've got contestant up first. As always, let's explain it to Brian. Brian, I'm sure you've heard it before. You've got 30 seconds head-to-head with Gordon. You can pass. Here is your chance to beat the pundit. Are you ready?
Okay,
your time starts now. Which Scottish team plays in Dingwall?
Ross County.
What is the name of the EuroMillions winner who's completed a takeover of Partick Thistle?
Columbia.
The Dunhamers is the nickname of which Scottish club?
Cooney South.
Who are the only Scottish team to have featured in an FA Cup final?
Queen's Park.
Which team is currently top of Scottish League One?
Brechin.
Stevie Nicol was the last captain of which English team?
Barnsley.
Of which English team? Let's see if we can bring Gordon Dale back. Gordon, are you out the back door? Let's get him back in. Here he comes. Right, headset on. You ready?
Yeah, go.
Great stuff. 30 seconds as always. You know the drill. Same set of questions to you, Gordon Dale, and your time starts now. Which Scottish team plays in Dingwall?
Dingwall's Ross County.
What is the name of the EuroMillions winner who's completed a takeover of Partick Thistle?
Weir.
The Dunhamers is the nickname of which club?
Cooney South.
Who are the only Scottish team to have featured in an FA Cup final?
No idea.
Which team is currently top of Scottish League One?
Airdrie.
Steve Nicol was a club captain of which English team?
Liverpool.
Which team did Graham Souness play with immediately prior to joining Rangers?
Sampdoria.
Okay.
Easy victory. Stick the kettle back on.
Brian, what do you think? Happy with that?
No, I don't think so. I think he just beat me.
Brian.
Let's find out. Let's go through them. First one, which Scottish team plays in Dingwall? It was Ross County. You both knew that. Well done. One all. Second question, what is the name of EuroMillions winner who's completed a takeover of Partick Thistle? It's Colin Weir.
Colin Weir, yeah.
You just said Weir. You're not getting that. You're not. No
Weir.
Chance. Nah. You didn't say the first name. No chance.
Did he get that?
Brian got it. He goes in 2-1 in front. Dunhamers is the nickname of which Scottish club? It's Queen of the South. You both got it. So Brian leads by one. The only Scottish team to have featured in an FA Cup final was Queen's Park.
I was going to say Queen's Park.
Brian got it, and you didn't.
Well, Brian, calm down.
4-2 to Brian.
I'm in the living room.
I love this one. Which team is currently top of Scottish League One? Brian said Brechin. Mark Wilson, we have the manager. The manager of Brechin City is in my living room. And without rubbing salt in his wounds, I can confirm they are definitely not top.
Yeah. If you turned upside down, I think you maybe got a point.
And it's a different division as well. It's the one below that, isn't it? So,
yeah. So really, I'm loving it. Right, yeah.
Airdrie's right. You've pulled one back. Stevie Nicol was a club captain of which
Liverpool.
English team? It's Liverpool. You've equalised.
Oh, get in.
Which means it all comes down to the last question. Brian, you didn't make it this far. Oh. Which team did Graham Souness play with
prior to
joining Rangers? It is Sampdoria.
See you later, Brian.
Brian, I am afraid he has done you 5-4. Hard lines.
Hey, cheers, lad.
Good, man. Do you know something? That
was
me.
Brian.
See you later, Brian.
How smug does he look sitting there? He's got his pyjamas on because we're in the living room. He's got his pyjamas, his slippers. He's more insufferable than usual.
5-4.
And he's got the victory in the end.
Another result. I hear a doorbell.
We've got three ways of getting in touch tonight. The doorbell genuinely has just gone. This is weird. This is bizarre. We've been saying all night, you can get in touch on the phones, 01419511025, on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Do something useful, yeah, Mark Wilson. Exactly. You've just been a spectator.
Keep your shoes off.
This is so bizarre. Right, we put the word out. Gordon's been genuine. We put the word out earlier on because we're in the local area, and we thought, I wonder, you know, Fir Park is just down the road. Motherwell Football Club, Motherwell defender Charles Dunn, because I know he lives just close by, has turned up at the house. This is obviously some sort of surprise that you guys have arranged for me. He's now in my living room. This is a bit weird. Charles, is it weird for you? Is it as weird for you as for me?
It's quite weird, but I can't wait for dinner, to be honest.
Chicken pie sounds good, doesn't it?
Oh, lovely, lovely.
Mrs. Duncan's got on. On a serious note, Charles, how are you? Because the team are flying, or Motherwell are doing pretty well. You have been injured. Is that always sort of bittersweet as a footballer when that happens?
Yeah, it's not nice to be injured, but obviously watching the boys do so well, I can't really complain. I wouldn't be in the team anyway, even if I was fit, the way they're flying. So, yeah, I'm happy for everyone, but it's unfortunate to be injured.
Is that maybe the side of it that, I don't know, that the guys... And by the way, this is really bizarre. We're sort of off the cuff tonight. If you've got a question for Charles Dunn or anyone else, get your calls in. Mark Wilson and Gordon both played. Mark was injured quite a lot, if you don't mind me saying. Is that the bit that people don't see? How frustrating is it psychologically? Because when the team's winning, is there that sort of fear that you kind of get forgotten about?
Not really. To be fair, the gaffer's good with me. Like, he always speaks to me and checks how I am and stuff. But being injured, it's not nice for any player. But it's better the team winning than the team losing while you're injured.
You mentioned the gaffer there. I wonder what's the international break been like, because there's been a lot of speculation about your gaffer, Stephen Robinson. He's been doing so well, and with that comes speculation links to Hearts, links to Hibs, links to Northern Ireland. So the Hibs job is done. You can sort of rest easy on that one. What's it been like? Is it something that the players mention?
Not really, to be honest. The gaffer just continues doing what he's doing. Obviously, the team's doing well, so speculation is going to happen, and it's a good thing really, but obviously Motherwell don't want to lose him, we don't want to lose him, so hopefully nothing happens.
I take it, because you have seen him operate, results are one thing, but you've seen him operate, you won't be surprised then that he's getting linked and getting all this praise?
Of course not, we've been doing well, and obviously him and the staff, like, all together, the stuff they've been doing, they've been trying to implement it for a few years, and now it looks like we're doing well, so hopefully it continues.
I'm not saying he's only getting praise because he's checking in on you when you're injured. I'm sure there's more to it, but it was just an interesting example you raised, because you're saying actually you still feel perfectly involved. You've been out since August, which is quite a long time. What type of environment has he created there?
Everyone's together, like all the players that he brings in, like he does his research on them to make sure like they fit in with the change room. So like his class, when a player comes in, it's like they've been there like the whole time.
Yeah, and I mean, the way things are going at the moment, I don't know, is there a secret to it? What do you put it down to? Because the club, even in your relatively short time there, has changed. I mean, the playing style is different. Lots of the players are different. Why is it going so well at the moment?
Well, I'm not sure. I think it's because like we could change the way we play. Obviously, the last few seasons we was quite direct, and obviously teams clocked onto that, so we had to change our style. And with the older staff and what the gaffer's done, we've been able to change it and doing well again.
Regardless of what you say, I'm sure the Motherwell fans, Stephen Robinson, the team is missing you, and we'll be happy when you return. What have you made of your defensive colleague Declan Gallagher? Are you a wee bit of pride at watching him starting for Scotland the other night?
I was buzzing for him. I watched it. I came in from the gym and it was put on the TV, and I was watching him, and I was happy for him, man. Like everything he was doing, I was like shouting a little bit, saying something that we would say in the change room, but I can't really say it on there.
what have you? How impressed have you been with him then? And what have you made of him as a player since he came?
No, I think he's done very well, man. He's a good player, and I think the way we play is suited him as well to show what he's about. Because obviously at Livy they were a bit more direct, but since he's come here, he's hit the ground running. So long may that continue.
It's a crucial time for Scotland going forward to big games. Would you back him? Can he be the man to stay in the team even when other guys come back to fitness and really try and make that spot his own?
Of course, as long as he stays fit and nothing goes wrong, you can't change a winning team. Two starts, two wins, mate. Can't change that.
Is he the secret then? Is that what you're telling us?
You said it, not me, mate.
Interestingly enough, because we spoke about life as an injured player, I know you'll be just working hard in the gym and rehab and all the rest of it. I actually noticed today that David Turnbull put a video on his social media back in the sort of anti-gravity treadmill, slowly but surely working his way back. In a strange way, is it a sign of how good Motherwell have been that actually people haven't been focusing on his absence?
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, we know how important David was last year, but the gaffer's brought in players just as good as David, so it's going to be hard for when he comes back. He's got a fight to get back in the team. Obviously, we all know how talented he is, but it's just how it is.
Yeah, such a difficult situation, I'm sure, for him, given the move to Celtic and all the rest of it, and you know, his head must have been all over the place. Have the players and the staff sort of rallied round and made him really still feel part of it during this long absence?
Yeah, of course. Obviously, when all the speculation and stuff happened and he didn't go or whatever, it was probably tough for him. He's a young boy, so like all the boys, all the staff, like everyone was around him, making sure he's all right. But yeah, I'm with him every day now, so and he's just normal, just trying to get fit.
Good stuff. You got a time frame for your own return?
I'm not too sure. Hopefully, 4 to 5 weeks. Just see how it goes. I don't want to rush it, and then what happened last time happened again. So,
Gordon DL, you're obviously a big Motherwell fan. I'm surprised you don't have your Motherwell jammies on. You fanboying from Charles?
Yeah, yeah.
You've been wanting to see him back.
I'm starstruck, I've got to say. I was in for part, and your physiotherapist, David Henderson, is one of the best I've ever worked with. He's
hold on a second. This is not about you or your hip injury.
It's all about me.
Football, if you don't mind.
No, it's all about me. But, you know, Charles said there, Motherwell are playing very well, and you're right, and it shows you the fact of Turnbull, who was absolutely brilliant for Motherwell, scoring goals from Midley Park. And I don't mean this disrespectfully. He's not really missed just now because of the way the team and the managers built everything round about different players in the system. And I do agree with him. A couple of years ago, I thought Motherwell were very basic football team, Gordon. Route one. And they've changed that style now. They've got pace. They've got people at work. They've got energy. Midley Park. Campbell, I think, is absolutely terrific. And I think they're having a terrific season. And I'm with you. I heard you the other night there and I applauded you. And the fact that you didn't go to Dubai, you gave me your tickets and I'm looking good. The fact that, you know, the saying about what would you rather have, Scotland qualifying or Motherwell win the league?
I don't know why I was asked that question on the phone.
I applaud you. Motherwell win the league.
What about the situation regarding Stephen Robinson? Is it only a case of once the Hearts job is filled, once the Northern Ireland situation is cleared up, is that when the Motherwell fans breathe a sigh of relief? Or is that come and gone as far as you're concerned?
I still think that until Hearts have appointed a manager, you've got to look at his track record. He's been terrific since he came. He had a bad time at Oldham, But you learn from your experience. Of course you do. He's come up to Motherwell. Recruitment, you've got to say, has been different class. Cup finals, everything that he's achieving with Motherwell. Of course, teams like Hearts will look at the manager. But do you know what? I go down to Motherwell, I'm 50 yards from the stadium, Gordon, and I know a lot of people down there. It's a terrific football club. And I've got to say that as a manager, sometimes you will look at what you've got rather than jump into something else that you don't know what's going to happen. I think that Stephen Robinson's at that point now going, do you know what? I've got a great chief exec. I've got great fans. I've got great people. I've got good players. I've got everybody working for me. And he's in a good place just now. Take your time. I think there are bigger clubs to come.
I mean, Charles Dunn, you were telling the guys during the break, you know, you're from London. You come up here to play your football now. You are in my living room. I dare say this is all a bit, this is a million miles away from what you're used to. How at home do you feel in Scottish football now? What's it been like for you? And what can Motherwell realistically achieve this season?
It's been brilliant since I've come up here. Obviously, when I first came up, I didn't know what to expect as an English player. And the way English people portray Scottish football is like it's not. Like, you know, We all hear it, but it's been class. I loved it up here. And I feel right at home, to be honest.
Charles, in my living room or just generally?
The living room's quite similar to mine as well.
I need to butt in here because I need to answer this question. You and I are fantastic Motherwell supporters, grown up, Motherwell, born and bred, everything. We've got Charles Dunn coming in to your living room, You know, and we're all excited about that, and we'll get selfies later, and obviously Charles will want me to sign a few of them. But I've just looked down. He's actually taken off his shoes.
He's very polite. I mean, to be fair,
that's respect.
The colour of this carpet.
You've got a hole in your sock, mate.
You can't get away with shoes on in here. Listen, I appreciate it. Charles Dunn, thank you for ringing the doorbell, taking the show to an even weirder, more surreal level. But we're happy with it. Thanks for joining us, and we wish you well on the recovery.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Good man. That was Charles Dunn, Motherwell defender, who popped in for a chat. I'm looking to hear from you on the phones, though. 0141 951 1025 at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Anything at all looking ahead to the weekend? Celtic fans, Rangers fans, keep those calls coming in. And what about you, Partick Thistle fans? Crucial time in the club's history. We're going to hear from Paul Goodwin, who's played a key role in what's been happening over the last couple of days. But what do you think? Give us a call and we'll speak about that situation and get the guys a full-time teaser next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Gordon Dale and Mark Wilson here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. If you are just joining us, it's a show with a bit of a difference. We are live from my living room. Not allowed to drive at the moment. I've not broken the law or anything, just not allowed to drive. And the guys clearly thought they would cause a bit of mischief. They've headed round to the house and we are here. I've still got the old surgical stockings on. Gordon Dale's got his pyjamas on. It's different, isn't it? I don't mind it, actually. I'm starting to get used to it. It was a bit weird at the start. The dinner is genuinely getting made in the background.
Everybody would like to go to their work in their living room and have their dinner made for them, Gordon. So many different
aspects to it. I mean, because we've got the telly on, which is not unusual. When we're in the studio, we've got the big screens usually keeping an eye on the sports channels to see what's happening, but this is so different. I mean, because we've got the remote, technically we could just watch whatever we want.
We could just
change it. With you two, I'm certainly not giving the TV remote to Gordon Dale, because that could get us in all sorts of trouble. We're a bit early for I'm a Celebrity.
The Jungle,
a bit later on. You're not a fan of that, though, are you?
Yeah, I quite like that. I've started watching it from the beginning, but I'm more into Corey at 7:30, so we'll turn that over.
It's really weird, but we'll just crack on with it. There's nothing else for it. I do have a full-time teaser for you, Partick Thistle fans. Let's hear from you, because we're going to hear from Paul Goodwin on the phone, a man very much involved in what's been happening at your club over the last couple of days. Huge times, not to be underestimated, massive times at Partick Thistle. If you don't know what it's all about, we'll try our best to explain it, and then it would be nice to get your reaction. But let's quickly give you a full-time teaser. This should be good. Mm-hmm. Gordon Dale, Mark Wilson, could you listen carefully? Just Jordan has sent the question in. He says, can the panel name the 8 players, this will be really good, from Scandinavian countries who've scored a hat-trick in the SPL era? So can the panel name 8 players from Scandinavian countries
Johansson, Jonathan
who scored
Johansson.
A hat-trick in the SPL era. So just to be clear, you know what Scandinavia is?
Yeah.
Describe it to us. What countries?
Over there. Right.
It's freezing.
Jonathan Johansson.
The SPL era, Mark
SPL,
Wilson.
SPL, right, it's okay.
Is it not? Jonathan Johansson not one?
Jonathan Johansson is one of them.
Yeah, thank
well
you
done.
Very much.
That's a superb start. That is a really good start. Well done. You got anything for us, Mark?
Larson.
Easy one, yes.
Yep. Larson, Johansson. So, sorry, when's this era up to? I always get confused with this.
The SPL era went up to the 2013-14 season. From the start of the century.
Who
really.
Did you say? Jonathan Johansson?
Jonathan Johansson, yeah.
Stefan Johansson?
No, ooh. Never scored a hat-trick.
I didn't know.
No, I didn't.
Oh, well, no, he would have been the SPFL era as well. Mm. So there you go, a couple of things there. Right, anyway, that's a good start. Can the panel name eight players from Scandinavian countries who've scored a hat-trick in the SPL era? We've got Henrik Larsson and we've got Jonathan Johansson so far. So six to get. Right, Partick Thistle fans, perfect time for you to get in touch because it's been a huge couple of days at the club. First step towards fan ownership as a EuroMillions winner, Colin Weir, acquires a major shareholding in the club and buys the land at Firhill. He's a majority shareholder now, the Three Black Cats Limited company. And it really is a huge period this for Partick Thistle. Don't just take my word for it. Let's go on to the phones and speak to Paul Goodwin, who's from the Thistle Forever fans group. Paul, thank you very much for joining us. How are you tonight?
Very well, thank you. Very well, thanks.
I'll bet you are, Paul, because this is a hugely exciting time for Partick Thistle fans, for the club. Just explain a bit to us, in case anyone has missed the story, what exactly has been happening.
No, we set up Thistle Forever way back August, September time. We asked people to pledge, really unknowing. The major objective was to try and work towards community ownership. And when we were launched, it was... It started to build a bit of momentum. People started pledging. We've seen the positive impact at places like St Mirren and Motherwell, and obviously Hearts have done a fantastic job with galvanising the fans. And we felt with all the kind of turmoil that was around at the club at the time, with potentially unknown foreign investors and things like that, the best place for Thistle really was to be vested in the community. And when Colin Weir came up and suggested he was interested in helping our campaign, it really was, you know, everything that you really wish for. It was your Christmas every day of the week, really, to have that type of backing. So we're in a very fortunate position that there's been a lot of hard work done up to now. But to be honest, the hard work just kind of starts. Colin is taking the club, has got the shares, but we've got to come up with a plan. It takes all the best bits from all the stuff at the other clubs and come back to him before the end of March 2020, and hopefully we can convince him that we can take it forward and take the ownership on.
And like you say, some similarities perhaps with the Well Society at Motherwell, but this is unique in the sense that Colin Weir's 55% shareholding gifted, you know, essentially directly to fan ownership, which means you get to start with that clean slate, don't you? There is no catch, there is no debt. It really is a sort of blank canvas to move forward.
It's a fantastic proposition. I mean, and the generosity is just, you know, it's fantastic. It really is. All the other clubs have done fantastically well with the fans actually having to, you know, whether it's build a stand at Hearts or pay back Ann Budge, or, you know, similarly pay back Gordon Scott St Mirren, and obviously it was Les Hutchins more latterly and Motherwell. This will get an advantage. Okay, maybe a smaller club in some of those ones, but we've got an advantage that, as you say, you know, the money that we do raise, and we do intend to, you know, we'll come back with a plan for all those pledgers, that money might be directed in a different direction, whether it's to the academy or whether it's to, you know, do something else at the club or at the ground now that we're on the ground. We don't know, and that's the lovely thing about it. We were talking to St Mirren guys today, and part of the money they have is every year they say to the fans, you decide from some of that money how it's going to be raised and the levy that they have. And, you know, we might get to that same position where the fans are still collecting their money, but it's going to a project that they feel is important. So it's exciting times, but there's a lot of work to do. It really isn't, you know, over and done with yet. There's plenty of, for all the fans, and, you know, we'd encourage all of them to continue to pledge their support. And also, the working party that we've just been set up will be starting to get together within the next week or 2 weeks. Anybody that's got a skill set they think can help come forward.
Paul, if you don't mind, I'll put you right on the spot. You can join in because we've actually got Andy on the other line. Andy's a Partick fan from Drumchapel. He's got a couple of questions which I'm sure you'll be able to answer better than I can. Andy, what have you made of this news in the last couple of days?
How you doing, guys? How you doing, Paul? It's great news, I think, that Colin Weir's, you know, back on board and that we're getting a bit of investment. And of course, it's I think it's good that the club's going to be in the fans' ownership. For me, though, I just think, of course, we're going to get the training facility and the land bought for us and the shares going back to the fans. But I'm kind of, as a fan, and I think a lot of the guys in the stands, we're looking for a bit of investment where we can start to buy some better players and get back into the Premier League and start challenging. I think it's great that, like I said, Colin's on board. Very grateful for that. But, you know, we fans are wanting to see where's the investment coming for to invest in the squad. You know, what's the plans there to do that? Because just now I just see it as that we're still in the same position. You know, when 2020 comes, we're no better off there than we are just now. You know, we're struggling at the bottom of the championship just now and to challenge. Obviously, we've got a good manager, Ian McCall. So very surprised to get him. I think we need to invest some money there. So how are we going to go about that?
Well, I mean, I think the club, I mean, we're not involved in running the club just now, so I can't say for how, you know, how much money's in the books or whatever. But the plan with the interim board is they will continue to do what we're doing. The club has been run successfully. It's not, it didn't have any debt. It's got money in the bank. And it's really for up to the manager and the chief executive to pitch to the board to say, look, we need X, Y, Z. You know, I know there'll be plans already in place, but we need, how many players do we need in the transfer window? How many players do we need to turn over, you know, for next season? So all those discussions will happen. In terms of extra revenue coming in, I think there's going to be an announcement in the next couple of days. I think that was alluded to today that regarding the academy, which Colin obviously previously supported. So there's some immediate potential extra revenue coming in. And I think the other big idea is that obviously we've not got anybody to pay back. So the revenue that people like yourself that pledge, that, you know, we can then decide as fans how we're going to spend that. So, for example, Dunfermline fans, you know, after they went under and then back buying the club, they raised £200,000 a year from their pledges, and they decide, you know, what that's going to get spent on. Is it going to get spent in the first team? Is it going to get spent in the academy? And, you know, I think every year they make different decisions. So it could well be, you know, I would say Thistle's a not dissimilar size to Dunfermline, maybe a wee bit smaller with crowds at the moment. But if you can, you know, mark that model, there's no reason why the revenue coming from the pledges could go into a pot, a substantial pot that helps the manager. But these are all, I'm jumping ahead here, you know, and it won't be me that's making those decisions, it'll be the fans. So, you know, they'll decide when they raise the money how some of that's going to be spent, I would envisage. So there's lots there. I mean, but, you know, the ideal scenario, this is a dream situation. That's what people are saying all across Europe. We've seen notes today that a benefactor who loves the club, buys the clubs and gives it to the fans. It is a unique situation. So we're starting on a good platform. But, you know, it would be an amazing platform if somebody, you know, then gave us another 100 million to spend. But that just doesn't happen in reality. So we've got to be sustainable. We've got to make sure we're not spending more than we can bring in. And if you want an example of a club that's done that fantastically, is Motherwell, where they've got a youth structure that works. They sell players on. They're very successful. They've paid back more than £1 million. In our case, if it was a similar type of money, that £1 million would be going to the first team squad potentially. So there's a lot to it, but the success is there that we can follow and emulate. And, you know, I would say the more people who get involved in it, the more successful it will be.
What do you think, Andy? Sound good?
I think, like I said earlier, I think it is good. I just think that, obviously, I phoned in a few, probably two seasons ago there when we just finished six and Colin Weir had pledged the money and the academy was sort of on the radar then. And then it kind of went a little bit south and didn't go so well. So as a fan, I'm kind of thinking where we are now is just where we should have been 2 years ago. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, Paul, do you understand that, Paul, as much as that this certainly seems exciting, that you mentioned it yourself, that there's a long road to go. There are no guarantees. A lot of people like fan ownership model. There are no guarantees that it works. What makes you so confident that this one can work, Paul?
Well, I've been around a few of them, and most of them have worked, with only really one exception, and that was Dundee, where it really imploded, and it just, I think structurally it wasn't quite set up properly. But the vast majority of them have worked. I mean, you know, who would have believed that, you know, Hearts would have built a stand, as well as by the early part of next year having paid off all the loans that he had and owned the club outright. And also the governance structure behind it, the engagement in the community, there's so many more people involved. I think the bottom line is, you know, and we know this throughout the history of Scottish football, there is no magic money tree, to use that analogy. You know, so all the clubs have got to be sustainable. You know, at some stage, you've got to balance the books. So Partick Thistle are the size and the scale of what they are. You know, that's got to be a process that we're in. You know, I think the chances of finding somebody... I mean, it's interesting, many years ago when I started this kind of community ownership kind of angle, I say I've worked at maybe six or seven clubs now on it, Neil Doncaster spoke to me about it and said, this will never work, community ownership. I said, well, I disagree, because the fans are the heart and soul of the club, and they will never let it down. It might not be successful as somebody pumping money in, but if you look at the history, whether it's Rangers or Hearts previously, or Dunfermline, you know, Kilmarnock had, you know, huge debts racked up until that was all cleaned out. You've got to be sustainable. You can't actually run football by spending money that you don't have. And most of the clubs, you know, very much fortunately in Scotland, have got to a position where they understand that. So, you know, I think it is a balance in there. For me, the most important thing is, like, you know, we're up challenging. Thistle could be a Premier League team. And that's what, you know, I think everybody really wants. But it's got to be done sensibly.
Brilliant. Paul Goodwin from fans group Thistle Forever. Thank you very much. Andy, the Partick fan on the line as well. Thank you for your input. Massive couple of days for Partick Thistle. We watch with interest to see how that develops in the coming weeks, months and years, I guess. This is a long-term thing. We are on Twitter, remember, at Clyde SSB. Lots of your tweets are coming in. It's a bit of a different show tonight because we are live in my living room. I think you've all got the gist of why that is. We don't need to bang on about it, but just in case you're just joining us, Scotty McCoo is on, got some really hard-hitting questions coming in. Mm-hmm. He says, Gordon Dale, where did you get those tartan PJ bottoms? I could be doing with those bad boys for Burns night.
They're beautiful.
They are, I would sit with Jink Mark.
Beautiful.
See, when I asked Primark him similar, next. No, when he get in the car, I said similar. He says, cost a few quid.
Not a chance. Not in a
Versace.
Million years. No, no way.
They're Versace.
£750 max. By the way, not that
by the way, you get three pair for £750.
Not that there's anything wrong with that in the slightest, but that's
I've got a blue one to go with my slippers. Now, I've got to say, and I thank him very much, Mark brought me my slippers.
Good. We've got a few coming in. Stephen Wraith saw us on Twitter and he says that you are dressed like a bedridden Winston from Still Game.
That's a good shout.
Oh, I can't say I disagree. By the way, getting a bit of support. I actually think we're onto something here. I mean, John Ferris says it's like two doors down. All Daza will be like Christine. I don't watch it.
I like Christine.
Yeah, she's my favourite.
Jim McCafferty says we need
if
to.
If you're listening, get in touch.
We need Christine. To keep it going every Thursday. I could get used to that. That would cut down my petrol bill for sure.
I'll
what else have we got on Twitter? Craig Conacher's not daft as well. He's looked at the picture. He says that must be a shoes off at the door. Kind of gaff.
Oh, it is.
Pretty true.
Oh, yeah.
It is. It's pretty true. I must have asked. Listen,
nothing wrong with that.
I mean, Mrs. Duncan.
Perfect. That is his chewing gum stuck in the bottom. I'll keep my voice down because she's in the kitchen.
She does run quite a tight ship. The chicken pie got on it. Smells quite good.
Honestly, I'm staying. I'm waiting for a celebrity chicken pie.
Dinner is on, but there will be no need for this. Wolf Tone, who's tweeted to say it would be good if Mark Wilson's delivery driver chapped your door and tipped him. live on air, because you've got the reputation for being stingy.
No chance he's getting a tip. No chance.
With the tips, right, this is very bizarre. What about the full-time teaser? Just quickly, we're looking for eight players from Scandinavian countries who scored hat-tricks in the SPL era. Henrik Larsson and Jonathan Johansson. Hurry up.
Lovenkrantz?
Yep.
And here's one, played by Rangers up front. Erik Bo Andersson.
Nope. Mark Wilson.
What?
Brattback.
Yes. Okay, we'll try and get the rest of the answers next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
We are into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. I'm Gordon Duncan. Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. It's been a bit different over the last few days. Stephen Mill has done a sterling job looking after you, I must say. I didn't actually hear it, but I've heard good things. Because I've been unavailable. Still can't drive, and that's why we are in my living room. So if you think it sounds a bit different, Super Scoreboard hit a new high, a new low, depending on how you view these things, and we are indeed in my living room. But by the way, it's getting some decent feedback on Twitter, I must say. Colo wants a petition to make every show from this living room, which brilliant. I, for one, can fully get behind. 100% can get behind that, Colo. I love the suggestion. I must say, your old pal Nervous Driver has been tweeting in.
What's he giving it?
He says, "Don't let you order a takeaway because you don't tip." Obviously, the driver as you.
He missed an opportunity. He could have been round here the night with a free takeaway for us and
getting a bit of publicity.
Missed a trick.
Still time. The show finishes at 8, but we'll be here for the foreseeable, I imagine. We're pretty much getting back to normal. This is a bit of a novelty. Hopefully we'll be back in the studio tomorrow. It's all been a bit mad. We'll get back to normal. But I do feel like it's only fair. And this was a minor thing, by the way. Proper minor. Not a big deal at all. But in these trying times, bit of praise for the staff at Wishaw General who've patched me up magnificently so that I could come back and deal with you guys. The only thing, and I'd like to get your expert analysis on this, I think they've deformed my belly button. So I got the appendix out, as you know, and they've turned my belly button inside out, like fully inside out, and I don't think it's ever going to go back. Do you want to see it?
No.
I mean, it doesn't really work on radio, but genuinely, this is how it works.
Jesus!
They've turned it right out, inside out.
I can't even wear that. That's
like, and I don't know if it's going to go back.
I'd go back to the shop with that and say, can you
can you do that?
I would try my best because I
didn't
know.
Get a receipt?
And how's Mrs. Duncan?
Well, the chicken pies.
She's actually
canceled.
Not seen it because I only took the bandages off today for the first time.
That's not looking good.
I got a bit of a fright.
I would get back to the hospital with that.
No, but listen, by the way, they've done a great job.
It looks of
the operation. I patched up and I feel great. But I think they have turned my belly button inside.
I don't think that looks right.
I can't believe you're actually showing that.
I think it looks fine.
As soon as we go off here, go back up.
Right, listen, anyway, enough about that. Let's go back to the lines and speak to David in Cumbernauld. Please talk about football, David. Bring us back to earth.
I hope everything's going okay, but you're out in the hospital now.
All good.
I just wanted to talk about the Scotland team, the now, if that's okay. I think Steve has been doing absolutely brilliant considering he's not had everybody that he might have wanted for the team to come in. And, I think it might be a shout to keep some of them in there and maybe just show just because if you take these breaks of injuries, I'll say it in quotation marks, you might not get back in.
Still with us?
I can hear you, but they can't hear me, I don't think. I don't know if she's can hear me. My line's a wee bit bad.
In terms of what you're saying, Gordon, no, it's good. Guys like Declan Gallagher, though, who comes in and centre-half was a real problem for us and comes in. He does himself no harm. So you think, well, why not? If he continues to play well up until March, it's still a position that we're crying out for somebody to really grab the jersey and make it their own. And Motherwell are still flying high at that time. Well, why not? Guys like Ryan Jack as well, who's been in and out, and people are saying, well, Daz was saying, McTominay, what if he's, would you play him? Well, if he's still playing well at the time, of course. He's took his opportunity, he's turned up, he shows he cares about Scotland. Why not play him in the big games then? That really matter.
David, on you go. I think we've got you back.
Yeah, sorry, I don't know if you what I got caught off there. What I was basically saying was, I think a lot of the team has made a case for themselves over these last couple of games. I know they've not been against the most stellar opposition, but you can only beat who's in front of you. And I think some of these players, they might have not got a chance otherwise, have made a really good case for themselves to replace some of the players that are, in quotation marks, injured.
What do you think? That's going to be an interesting debate. And listen, there is a lot of water to go under the bridge between now and then. But these are the big decisions Stevie Clark's going to have to make. It's okay saying that they did well until such time as hopefully we can get a squad together and Scott McTominay rocks up and Ryan Fraser rocks up what do you do?
That's a big question, Gordon. I think that I said earlier the two games was all about giving people an opportunity. Ryan Jack, for instance, Taylor at left back, and Declan Gallagher at centre back. But when the Robertsons, the Tierneys, people like that turn up, then they will play. McTominay, I think, will play.
Well, in place of who, though? I mean, how many people are you dropping out?
That's a big question.
Well, tell us then. If you're so sure they'll play, you must know.
I said on Tuesday I'd play 12. I think we're a certainty to win. I think their biggest problem is Tierney will definitely play because you've got to play your best players. As much as you can say, well, hold on a minute, have a look at the last two games. You play your best gate players.
But I listened to you the other night, and you're quite right. You play your best players in the best positions.
Yeah.
But would you not say a Scott McKenna on top form is better than Tierney at centre half? Because we've never really seen Tierney at centre half.
I would. Well, I'll tell you what. You would leave Tierney out of the Scotland team, and March, you would leave Tierney out of the Scotland team. Is that what you're saying? And I wonder how you got the breaking job.
Right, we're going to have to leave it there because we're running out of time. We could do this all night. It would be great fun. Thank you to David and Cumbernauld. But you need to finish the teaser. Can the panel name the 8 players from Scandinavian countries in the SPL era to have scored a hat-trick? Now remember, Jordan sent the question in. So he's going for a slightly loose definition of Scandinavia, but that's okay.
How loose are
we talking? We don't need to get bogged down in geography. You've got Henrik Larsson, Jonathan Johansson, Peter Lovenkrantz, Harald Brattback. So we are including Finland within this.
Right,
keep them coming quick.
Tore Andrew Flo had scored against me in the cup final.
Yes.
Don't know if you ever managed a team in the cup final.
Rasmussen?
No, come on.
I know. Mixed with Pat Leinen.
Yes. Two to get. Yes. Come on.
Pukki?
No.
No. Eremenko?
No.
Is he even...
He's finished yet, but he's not. We have included, Jordan's included Finland within this.
Right, we need clues.
There's one I'm surprised you've not got, Mark Wilson.
Who you played with him?
Bit of a large.
Gravesen.
Tommy Gravesen.
You tell his story.
Yeah.
Tommy Gravesen, what a fella.
Yeah. Right. And last one, anything else coming at all? Nothing. Come on, keep coming quick. Like you're going to have to round it off.
Hurry up, chicken pie.
Played with Aberdeen. Norwegian, I think. Yeah, Norwegian. Aberdeen. No. It's Arild Stavrum. Thank you very much to Mark Wilson and Gordon Diehl. We've been live from my living room, but we're back in the studio tomorrow from 6 o'clock.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to Thompson's.com.